All right, here we go.
Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
I think it was disgraceful.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Episode 582, 007th of June, 2020. This is your Overseas Connection podcast. I'm going to be your main host today. The only person that really matters in this whole conversation, Greg DeLacy, Gamer Tag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And joining me from order of importance, Mark Wright, spinning the decks. Mark, what's up, Tin Cup?
Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Yeah, I thought it'd be the last one you said order of importance. Yeah, I'm doing well and looking forward to another a great, fun-packed show. Last week, I'm still laughing about last week's show. It was so hilarious. I listened midweek at work while I was driving around in my van, and I was just laughing away, and people must have thought, what the fuck's wrong with him driving past laughing me head off? So, yeah.
I can't remember. What was funny? I can't remember at all.
Your cockpit and all your and Greg's double entendres. Me and Kim were in stitches.
Well,
who else we got on,
that.
Greg?
I was going to get there. I think the next order of importance is the ever yellowish orangey. Can't really tell what that shirt is, but
he blends in well.
It's like a wall of ginger. We've got Pete Chin on the show today.
Hello.
Oh, hey, ginger balls!
It's a Wu-Tang Clan T-shirt. Wu-Tang Clan for the kids.
Nice.
Yeah, cash rules everything around me.
Let's see.
Dollar bill. Yo.
So, love my Wu-Tang t-shirt.
Yes. Well, good to have you on the show. And if you've been listening now for the past couple of minutes, you clearly understand why I put this person last in order of importance. Mr. Robin Tate.
Yeah, that's me. Hi, it's Robin here. I am the most unoffensive person you could ever meet. I've been keeping my head low for the last week. I have not lifted my head above the parapet or suggested anything that was controversial in any shape or form to any of my followers whatsoever. And if you suspect of anything like that happening, it must be my fake faux account because there's somebody out there impersonating me. You can't never get enough of me. It's Robin Tate here. I am in Ballymena. I am in Northern Ireland and having a great old time. So hello, everybody.
Welcome to the show, Robin. Yes, you are the least controversial. You're like vanilla, so that's why I really introduced you last.
Vanilla.
Yeah. Vanilla, yep. Skin tone matches the vanilla, too, so it's all good. We're good. all right. This show is going to be about fun, people. It has been a, let's just say, stress-filled kind of week and a half or so. Let's just say it's been about a stress-filled year. 2020 has really sucked so far.
2020 needs writing off.
I mean, if all of the events of last week and previous weeks could not be bad enough, I think it was on Friday, Russia announced that they had a major oil spill into the Arctic region.
20,000
just like,
liters.
Yeah, 20,000 gallons of crude. It's like, come on, give us a break. We need a break. So that's what this show is going to be about, giving everybody a break. We're gonna talk about video
so
games.
Goodbye, good night, thanks. Yeah. See
you. We're going to talk video games. We're going to talk about life beyond the insanity and craziness. And that's what we're going to do our thing. So get ready, strap in. If you're new to the show, we broadcast every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. And if you're in the Central Time Zone, we're sorry, but you're there. So you can tune in at 3 o'clock whenever you want. Twitch.tv, Mixer.com, YouTube. We usually are there in some fashion or another. We do post this podcast out to audio only. So if you are listening to it audio only and you like that, great. If you want to actually see the show and see what we look like, you may not want to, but you can tune in live to the shows or catch the rerun. We do highlight the show so you can watch this week's episode whenever you want. And shout outs to Yellowbug Gaming. They gave us a follow on YouTube, so big shout out to them. And a big happy birthday to, and I'm going to really, I apologize now for the absolute decimation of your last name.
Oh, this will be interesting.
Matthew Bolzanello.
Yeah, Bolzanello. Yeah, well done. Right. Mr. Miyagi on the gaming platforms.
Yeah. That was far easier to say, Mr. Miyagi, than the.
He's a nice guy.
Because, I mean, honestly, I was going to default to Matthew Balls. Yeah. So, anyway, he had a birthday coming up here on June 9th. And again, amazing tale. We are an older podcast, so we have a little bit older crowd. Matthew turning 92.
Wow.
So incredible. What an achievement. We are thrilled. Your 92nd birthday is right around the corner, so we want to play this lovely song for you.
Shit, hang on.
Or not.
I was just going to, before you put me on the spot there, I was just going to say, I don't know if this applies in Australia, because they're still part of the Commonwealth, aren't they? I wonder if when they hit 100 years old, they still get a card from the Queen, because he's only got 8 years to go. So hang in there, Matthew, eight
or,
more years.
Because they're in Australia, do they get a pardon?
Controversial. Right, move on.
All right. Happy birthday, Matthew. Let's move on. Let's talk some story time, Mark.
Story time, hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right, well, let's start things off with something that's not controversy at all. Mark, let's get the phone update.
Right, here we go. Are we ready?
Yes.
I'll be back in a few minutes.
Still loving it. Oh, he's gone now, and I can't wind him up. I've not once regretted switching from iPhone to Android. In fact, I've still got my old iPhone 7. I haven't sold it yet. And I had to get some of the information off it because my notes didn't transfer over and I forgot about them. And I went on my old iPhone and I thought, wow, this is fucking old and clunky. It was weird going back onto it because I've got that used to Android in such a short time. Yeah, absolutely love it. The Huawei P30, fantastic bit of kit. Even if it's made in China.
Yeah, even if all of your information being sold in China, it's worth it.
No, I love it, yeah. How are you enjoying yours, Pete? Are you getting yours to yours? Because you got a new one as well, didn't you?
Well, the thing that really paid me off was I've had like several years worth of chat with Shell and I've kept it on my WhatsApp and that didn't transfer. I tried to keep it all on my iPhone and then put it into my Google Drive and then transfer it that way. Didn't work.
So. Yeah, it did transfer all my contacts, but all the message chats were starting afresh. Yeah, you're right on that.
So I had to start again. That was the only thing that really annoyed me with that. But I've completely switched over now. I've got used to it. The only thing that really annoys me is I don't know whether it's got a flat thumb. You're right, Robin, you've sold. The only thing is I don't know whether I've got a fat thumb, but keep on missing the N. So every time I'm doing something like don't or think or whatever, it keeps on pressing space instead, and it doesn't autocorrect it.
Yeah, I've noticed the keypad because I've gone from a 7 Plus. The keypad is a bit smaller, and plus you can turn it off if you want, but they've got the numbers right at the top, which I find really useful because that was a pain on iPhone having to switch to numbers all the time. So although you've got your numbers, it makes the letters a little bit smaller.
Yeah,
you don't have to do that, Mark.
It's good. Yeah, I like it.
But the cameras,
Keep your finger on the. If you wanted a number, you just keep your finger on the letter, and the numbers pop up and the special characters.
I didn't know that. I've had an iPhone for all these years and never knew that. I always press the 1, 2, 3 at the bottom to change to the other keypad.
Well, you might want to try that out. Who knows?
Well, maybe I don't need to now because I ain't got an iPhone. Yeah. Well, I have got an iPhone, but.
It might still work on your phone. By the way, there are different keypads you can select from.
Yeah.
So usually
I still haven't looked at this Swift key thing is yet. I don't know what
So the one that I really loved when I had that lovely feature was, I think it might be called that Swift key, where you literally just you just whizzed your slid your finger across the key letters, and it sort of guessed what words you were typing. But it's really fast, so it's like as if you're on an iPad screen and click 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 click, and up. It was really really good. I really like that. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, that's the only thing.
The only thing you liked, yes. We know.
Yeah,
we
I'm
know.
Still loving the 2 day battery life. That is such a refreshing thing. Yeah. Gone from 4 hours to 2 days battery life, even with a lot of usage. Just love it.
The more porn you download, the more you watch, it will affect your battery life.
Well, I've been watching a lot of Twitch and YouTube and that, but I've been avoiding a lot of social media for some unknown reason this past few days. I'll give another update next week.
Okay, excellent. Well, let's shift gears. Robin, let's talk about it. How is the plantar fasciitis?
Yeah, just before I get on to my sex race, I had a bit of a panic there. You've seen the movie Electric Dreams, where the guy is he accidentally spills a bottle of champagne on his computer, and it turns into a sentient, thinking person, computer type thing. Old 80s movie.
I miss that movie.
Giorgio Moroder done the soundtrack to it. Forever in electric dreams, then they'll live forever, everything. Anyway, fuck me. Jesus, these kids. Anyway, I knocked over my full glass of Dead Man's Finger spiced rum over my desk and computer. That's why I was panicking and running away. So, yes, a bottle of champagne turned that man's computer into this happy, singing, musical computer. I think a glass full of Dead Man's Fingers Caribbean spiced rum with a skull on the front of the bottle, my computer will probably turn into some psycho zombie which will come and try and stalk me at nighttime like my 2-year-old. Anyway, yes, plantar fasciitis. I went to see the doctor week before last, and he organized a sex ray, and he said, look, you know, it could be ages. So the sex ray actually came through, and I had to go to the hospital place, the clinic, to go and get a sex ray. And amazing how quick it came through. And I went and I walked into the hospital, and it was completely empty. And I walked straight to the reception of the sex ray area. And she went, yes, we'll take you now. And I went straight in. I had my sex ray and I walked straight out.
I will say, hospitals right now, the only good thing about COVID-19, well, there's been a couple good things that have happened with COVID-19. One, traffic has lessened, and hospitals are not nearly as crowded because nobody wants to go to them. No. So if you have to go to the hospital,
Why am I paying all this money for private? Anyway, there's no need. Anyway, I'm waiting for the results for that. I am taking these anti-inflammatory things, which are really bad on my stomach.
Naproxen, still, by any chance?
Yes, naproxen. Yeah, I was supposed to take 2 a day, and I have to cut to 1 now. We went out for a good long walk today, and my foot is very, very sore tonight. The X-ray is not for the plantar fasciitis. It's for the broken bone or something that's on the left-hand side of my foot from a drunken Edinburgh tattoo falling downstairs night. Many, many moons ago, and I probably left that too late. That's happened. So hopefully, you know, but I'm still exercising every day, which is great. It is now the 7th of June, and I started my carbohydrate dodging. Not completely lost it, you know, but eating bacon every morning, pretty much for breakfast, and really good eggs and all that stuff, and have not being frightened of having lots of fat, but cutting down on the potatoes and the pasta and stuff like that there. So since that started 29th of April, and this morning I stood on the scales, I've lost a stone, 14 pounds in that period of time. I'm exercising every day. I exercise, I'm not to the weight restraints of Greg here, but I do my half an hour on my cross trainer outside on my bandstand, and then I do 50 sit-ups and I do 50 press-ups, and I have some 5 kg weights, Greg.
Nice.
And I do 50 arm curls and 50 things like this here.
Right.
Every day, and that's my routine. And I shower.
That's the solid routine, Robin. I really can. I'm not going to poke any holes at that, other than maybe the weights. But you know, the 50 push-ups, the 50 sit-ups, that's all good stuff. The half hour, I mean, that's, you're doing more cardio than I'm at the moment.
So I'm feeling good about myself. The weight's coming off. My body shape is changing.
Yeah.
I still have tits. And I still have a belly.
Yeah, but you're starting to get the figure eight, you know, hourglass figure.
Yeah, so, you know, if I get that that stone off, I've got another stone to do, and I'll try and do that. Scott Stubby, I've tried massaging the bridge of the foot with a deodorant or tender golf ball a couple times a day. Yes, I've been told I have to do that with a golf ball and do stretches, so I'm doing the golf ball. He says, like, you know, 2 minutes with a golf ball is fine, and then take it out of your ass and do 2 minutes on your foot.
I was going to say, the 2 minutes with the golf ball up your ass is probably not helping much, but never know. Maybe.
And then stretches, you know, like 2 minutes of stretches, 2 minutes with the ball, even that small amount of time is a help. So, okay. The other thing that I did last week that I mentioned was my first Google Cam, my Nest camera, yeah. Outdoor camera, yes. Arrived, and I got it up. And I put it in a sort of a temporary position, sort of covering the back of the house and up to the top of the lane. And I was so impressed with it, I ordered another one. So over the last couple of days, I have, and finished off today, have properly installed them with the cables hidden. And one is now over one side of the front door and up the lane, and the other one's at the back of the house. And I'm very, very impressed with these really, really good pieces of kit. I can get them up onto the big screen in the TV in the house. The notifications are coming through to myself and Judith. That whole Google Nest, again, Nest is now part of Google. I'm probably going to pick up another two, maybe three cameras. I want to cover the whole of the property in every angle. We are out in the middle of the countryside. We have never had any trouble, but there is a peace of mind, this, sort of knowing that, you know, there's movement there or stuff. So, yeah, I do want to get electric gates at the end of the lane at some stage as well. So, anyway, yeah, look, the cameras are expensive. I mean, they're about £149 a piece. They're usually 170 or something like that there. I think I'm going to pick up one of the, what do they call it? It's like a Google iPad. It's the control center. It's the hub.
Oh, yeah,
the Hub Max, I think,
yeah,
it's called.
Max, yeah.
And it sits there, and again, I think I'll add probably the doorbell and two more cameras, and that'll be us covered, I think.
Yeah, it's the Google version of the Echo Show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm very, very, very impressed with those. I'm quite impressed with my own installation. So, everything's away. It's one of those things where if people know what this stuff is and know that they're £150, £170 a piece, the cameras are targeting themselves.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a question in terms of the wiring of the camera. Now, obviously, they're wireless in terms of their the connection to the internet. But in terms of power, are they rechargeable?
Hardwired. It's hardwired.
Okay.
So if you remember the back of my house, is the bandstand there, Greg? So one of them is up at one angle facing this garage, this room here, but I've taken off, there's a proper roof on it, and I've taken off the roof timbers, and the power cable now runs hidden up in, I drilled a hole and through the rafters, and that's back on, and it's in down the back nice and neat, and into a plug socket out there.
Okay.
And the one that's at the front door now, I put the cable up in through the eaves of the roof in our roof space, and then into a power supply from there. So it's nicely tidied away, and you wouldn't know they're there. So, yeah, very good. I mean, used to have to buy standalone security equipment, I love the interaction with the online stuff and all of that. You know, it's a nerd. What else would you have? You have to have that.
So it's funny you're bringing this up, because so we installed a few cameras inside the house. specifically because I needed to be able to see my son when I say I'm working and he's home. Being special needs, it presents challenges. So I installed a bunch of cameras throughout the house, and I can access it off my phone wherever I'm at. So it adds as another layer of also, you know, if we go on vacation, I just turn on the motion detectors because they have, you know, they're looking in all different kinds of rooms. Well, this morning I get this text message. My wife Cindy is away right now. She's visiting her folks. And the text message reads, "Oh, that was really cute." You know, and I'm like, "What?" And so she had tuned into the camera and saw she was Colin. Yeah, Colin had crawled over to me and wanted to snuggle. And so she texted me, and I was just like, okay, that was one of those moments of time where I'm like, that's a little unnerving.
Yeah, good job. You looked 10 minutes early. I was knocking one out.
I've already caught two of our lads beating the hell out of each other. No, we weren't. No. Look.
Yeah, you show the phone, just go on the timeline. Yeah. The cloud storage is so good, so easy to use, isn't it, Robin?
What is it, £5 or something like that? Yeah, months.
Yeah, I think months, yeah.
Odd stuff that is picked up, again, that picks up audio, it'll pick up lots of stuff, in my you know, all the features are great. But funny, two magpies, they landed last week at the camera in this temporary position, and they started tapping into the lens. Wow. And tapped. Like, what is this, and they were there for a minute or so just looking into it. It was funny, so you never see that stuff going on at night time. So anyway,
as long as they don't break the camera. I'm just saying.
There's all of your stuff, like I could go the way there's locks, like, you know, the auto locks and stuff like that there, but our doors are maybe not suitable for that. The doorbell, probably. I feel like I need to put on a pad to put in a code, like an old alarm. But I mean, maybe do I really have to do that? Do I need window sensors and stuff like that when all these cameras are working? I'm going to see it anyway.
I mean, I'll be honest. You live in a remote enough area that, I mean, you guys kind of know when people approach the house, as long as you're not trying to be sneaky, obviously. But,
yeah.
You know, again, you're also kind of off the beaten path enough that, I mean, If you're in danger, it's because Jason's coming for you and he's going to slaughter the entire family. So, I mean, I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, to the point that you absolutely pointed that, there was we got a call from my sister-in-law who lives just, you know, a mile or half a mile around the corner from us yesterday to say that a blue car, she couldn't tell us what it was, so say like a Jetta or something, Volkswagen, dark blue Jetta, and it didn't have number plates on, registration plates, front or back, with four lads were going round and round our mile and a half loop around the lane. And she's seen it several times. So I called my neighbor Stanley, because he has a gun. Just to let him know, Stanley, some dodgy guys. And this is what we do, you know. So I was away, out on a very important, necessary trip. I got a telephone call from Stanley to say, we just worked out that's my wife's nephew. He's testing a new drift car, and they're out drifting it around. No need to worry. But that's just an indication of the neighborhood sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. But look, the important thing to note here, really, what was your first reaction? Call the neighbor with the gun. Just want to point out.
How's Stanley doing after his... medical episode?
Better, but not great. He is out working on my Wii and the Wii Jeep again, because he was putting on new brake calipers and brake liners and other bits and pieces before he had his heart attack. So he started to do bits and pieces there again, just because he's bored. But yeah, he's not quite himself. So okay, but that's about me. You know, that's,
yeah. Enough about you. We talked long about me. You. Let's talk about the ginger.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Well, today for me has been our first chili.
Okay, well, enough of that. Let's move on.
Mark?
No, okay, come on, Pete.
He's a bastard, isn't he?
Yes,
See, absolutely. Jeff Epstein there. Let's start there, because I watched some Jeffrey Epstein this morning.
I'll mention that next. My first thing, I've had a great day today. Chilling out. We've done pretty much nothing.
I've done that for like fucking 12 weeks now.
Well, I ain't. And it's been really good. We've watched some TV. We've just chilled out. Yeah, done nothing. Bullshit day. So it's good. Jeff Epstein. Right. I started to watch this series on Netflix this week. And I think I got to the third episode. I can't watch anymore. I'm disgusted. I didn't.
Yeah. Funny, we watched maybe... Well, it was last night, actually. We watched about half of the first episode, and Judith said, why are we watching this depressing thing on a Saturday night? Yeah. So I put on something more cheerful, like reruns of the Democratic conference. So that
I thought you were going to say the news. Were you close enough? Yes. Okay.
Yeah, we kind of got a bit disgusted with that. It was, I don't know, we kind of just carried on watching it a little bit. Just
2 minutes. When he's sitting there at the interview, pleading the fifth, have you ever solicited underage women? I'll plead the fifth. Have you ever done it here? I plead the fifth. Have you ever done it in Miami? I plead the fifth. Have you ever done it in Mexico? I plead the fifth. And, you know, I just, you know, that's all you needed to hear, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I just wanted to see... You know what his lifestyle was about, and how these people started to piece things together towards him, and I don't know. I just wanted to watch a little bit more. We got about halfway through the third episode, and you know he's obviously mixed up with a lot of high flyers, and he's got some
still
influence.
Not all out.
And now
still not all out.
He's got some influence. Obviously, he's got some clout.
But isn't it amazing? Like, there's money doesn't buy you everything. Well, in his case, it pretty much did until he was caught. But, you know, he had everything. He had, you know, the most beautiful houses, the helicopters, the planes, everything, but his life was empty. He obviously didn't listen to this podcast. You know, he didn't have us in
this
it.
Podcast,
you know?
We will tell you. I mean, that's the trap of money, right? Money, everybody thinks money is going to solve all of their problems. And the reality is...
Let me tell you, Greg. I do the National Lottery, okay? Which is the UK National Lottery. And I do it automatically. I have the same numbers since the very, very day it started. And they're my old motorcycle racing plates, or six of them anyway. And I now do it through the app. And that's why I do my numbers and a lucky dip, as they call it over here. And on a Sunday morning, I wait pensively for the email to find out whether I've won or not. Now, when the email comes through, if you've won an extra, like if you've got, I think it's one number now, you get, or two numbers, you get a lucky dip, a free entry into the midweek draw. Right. And if you get more numbers than that, in the email that they send you, it doesn't say. It says, good news, you need to log into your account. And every time, and it's happened a few times, every time that happens, you go, I have to log in. Oh, wow. So as you know, Jasmine was up in the wee small hours last night, 2 o'clock in the morning. I think she's teething again, 2 o'clock in the morning, and... I put on a stupid movie. I think it was The Hunt for Red October in my ears again, and checked my email. And I was WhatsApping at you guys at 2:30 or 3 in the morning.
I remember this.
So the email came in. You have to log into your account. I logged into my account. You have won a sum of money. Fuck. Four numbers, Mark. Four numbers, Pete. Two numbers away from maybe not being here tonight, or really being in here just fucking rubbing it in.
How much did you get?
Everybody's
I can only imagine. It's like 100
four pounds. Numbers, £140. Great. I'm not complaining.
Hey, good.
I'm not complaining.
Yeah, if there's four numbers. If there's a lot of people within four numbers, then you get a less amount, don't you?
3.8 million was the nice little pot. That would have been lovely. But yes, that was so at 3 in the morning, I was going, wow, cool. I'll go, Judith, £140. Yeah. Oh.
So now, Robin, now that your four numbers came up of your six or seven.
I've never had four numbers before. I've had lots of threes, but never
now,
four.
Now, mm-hmm. Do you feel it's more likely or less likely your numbers will come up?
I think the odds are so minute it doesn't really matter anyway, so just keep them in there.
That is the right answer. It actually doesn't matter because it is random. It doesn't matter if your numbers came up once or twice or never.
But the final thing I'll say, I'm sorry, and rudely interrupted again. If you do have £140 that you have won on the lottery, can I suggest that you go and open up a little trading account and buy some shares? Right now is the time to buy some shares. So companies like Aviva or Vodafone or not Apple, because they're always on the up. But have a look. So many companies are undervalued at the moment. Even I bought a ton of United Airlines a couple of weeks ago, and they're now in the green, skyrocketing up. They have lost 70% of their value over the last few months, and it's unnatural. It's on their way up. So if you have £1,000 or £500, even a couple of £100 to spare, and you want to make a little bit of money, have a look at that. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Remember
the stock market. Real quick.
Again, you remember your price can go up as well as down. But at the moment, it looks like it's mostly up.
Hey, when it's free money, it's free money. So you know, play with it. It is kind of amazing just talking about the stock market. Not that that is an indicator of anything other than the stock market itself, but you know, we started the year off. The Dow Jones was almost at 30,000. It dropped all the way, dipping under 20,000 at one point, and now it's coming back up. And last I saw, it was like 26.5. So, it has been a rocky year.
I have shares in Apple because they're steady as you go, and so right. it's at its maximum. It's never been higher. I have Aviva as my latest, which is a big insurance company. Marks and Spencer's was a bit of a stab, but they're already 10% up. Tate and Lyle Sugar, because the name Tesco is pretty steady.
All right, Robin, we're gonna
So there is some really good, you know, if you want to dabble a bit,
if you can invest, it is a good time.
Yes.
All right.
Pete, from Jeff Epstein, that went a bit west.
Isn't it me?
So shut up. We've got our new wedding date as well.
We're
going to get married on Friday, April 16th. That's our new date, and it's going to be our last date. We've changed it now. This is a third time. She can't get away anymore.
What if COVID-19 comes back?
I'm just going to go on my deathbed. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I'll turn up. I've moved a whole lot of rubble around, a few ton, from the back of the house to the front. So the front garden looks like an absolute abomination, but the back garden looks like a nice landscape now, just a lot of soil ready for some turf. So I've got some work to do at the back, and we got loads of house stuff this week as well, like photo frames and a rug and all those bits and bobs, just to freshen the house up a little bit. TV, I've been watching a bit of TV as well this week. We've watched John Wick 3 just today.
Excellent.
That's good.
Yeah, it's a crazy film. Enjoyed it though. It was good. It was a bit unbelievable in parts, but King Kong.
Well, in parts. Yeah,
in parts. Yeah.
All of it. I
mean, he's got a dog. We watched King Kong as well, because that's another movie that we haven't watched.
Which one?
The most recent? Is it 2008 or
Skull Island?
With
Sam Jackson.
Jack Black and
Yeah.
It was okay. It was a few hours though. It was good. It was light-hearted. We just wanted to watch something light-hearted with all the serious stuff going on in the world. We just wanted to watch some
Can I recommend you at some stage you actually go back and watch the original old 1950s black and white, because it's actually a really good movie.
Okay.
Outside of the animation.
It's like me with my old internet connection.
I'm a big fan of Godzilla in its day. The old Japanese, is it 1970s, early 80s? Well, I used to like Godzilla, that's class. So we watched that. We watched Jurassic World as well. Second one, nice. The 2017 movie. It was really good. I enjoyed it. Again, some stupidly unbelievable parts, but it was just good fun. I've had a good week this week of doing stuff, or should I say we have, doing stuff that we should do as a couple instead of just like working like nuts in the garden or at work or for other people, and we've just done some stuff for us, which has been good this week. So I feel nice and refreshed, and yeah, that's pretty much my week. Oh, and just to oppose Robin's talk about body shapes and stuff, my body shape is expanding in some areas. I've done absolute shit all fitness. I went to the tip this week as well, and I asked with the council, because the gym that I go to is part council owned and part private owned, and the council workers have all been deployed in all different places. So when I went to, I turned up at the tip this week, and I got Shell in the car and pulled up, and the tips are just like, I mean, it took me about an hour to get in, and they've got people everywhere. They're checking your ID, make sure that you've got two bills from your property, that you've not been twice in the day, so that they check your reg.
Jesus Christ.
The queuing is just absolutely insane. You can't take certain things into the tip as well. They're only allowing certain items in. But anyway, I got to the third person within the process, and it was the receptionist from the gym. And she was like, oh my God, there's some people from the gym. And I was like, what are you doing here? And she's just like, oh, we've been deployed in all different areas. And she's apparently the swimming pool, which I'm absolutely gutted about, probably won't be open this year. I've got a cross trainer at my mum and dad's. I think I'm just going to take that to pieces, put it in the loft, and I think I'm going to have to start doing something, because I'm really starting to put weight on. It's not like the food that I eat is great, but I think it's drink more than anything that's putting the weight on, and because I'm not doing anything.
Right.
You know, well, normally I'm swimming a mile or 2 mile a day. Between a mile and 2 mile a day. So to go from that to absolutely nothing, your body just thinks, what the hell's going on? And I'm just putting more and more weight on. I've got the fat boy wardrobe out at the moment. So everything that's, you know, you're laughing. So you've obviously got a fat boy wardrobe.
I made a conscious choice. Once I dropped down out of, this is just like going years and years back, but I was at one point 240 pounds and not athletic at all with that build. And so when I cut down, I got rid of all of those clothes. So I have no choice but to maintain or...
See, I did that once before. I threw all of my clothes out, and then I did that yo-yo thing, and I put all weight back on, and I had to buy some more clothes. So I just thought, sod that. I'm not going to buy more clothes. I'll just store them away. And I'll open it when I need my fat boy cupboard. And
that was the difference. Yeah. So my thought process is, I won't go back.
Yeah.
I won't allow myself to go back. If I feel like I have to go out and buy clothes that get or you know, going to allow me to be bigger, then I need to bust my ass more at the gym, in my garage, doing press ups, doing sit ups, doing whatever. The thing is,
I'm enjoying it.
You've got to sit down, drinking, lounging about, watching fucking Jurassic Park for the fifth time.
I think the last time I got to my correct weight, which was a few years ago now, I had kept these 32 waist trousers, Pete. And I kept these jeans and a few other bits and pieces because I knew they were class. I loved those jeans. You know, they were fucking brilliant. And I eventually got back into them, and the style completely changed. So just chuck it out. Yeah, you know, it has to be. Give it to charity, you know?
All right. Yeah.
So anyway.
Anything else, Pete?
There we go.
Anything else?
That's it for me. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, sir. You are more than welcome. Mark, is there anything else we wanted to talk about besides the phone update for you, or is that just, that was it? Okay.
No, really busy week at work, getting home on a night, doing a bit of gaming, and then flaking out. Not really. I've not watched anything all week. So, yeah, boring week for me.
Well, I have a little bit of... Kismet with Pete in the backyard stuff. I've been putting in some flagstone. We're going to create another little kind of sitting area. So we had a bunch of flagstone that we bought probably about 2 weeks back, but we wanted to get a bench seat that we're going to put on top of it. So we didn't know how wide we needed to make it. And so we waited. The bench came in Friday night. I put it together. So now it's laying down the flagstone, trying to space it out properly, doing the whole putting down, you know, the weed protect, then the gravel and sand over the top of it. Then I'm going to lock the stone in, pound it down, put locking sand over the top of that. It's a whole process.
Yeah.
I hate flagstone, though. I hate dealing with flagstone, especially when we have the larger pieces.
How big are they?
Probably about 3 feet in diameter or width, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, 3 feet by about two and a half feet. They're that big. Helps. They're unwieldy. Yeah. They're not like council slabs.
They're like 3x2, big, massive.
Yeah.
30 kilogram type.
Yeah, they're big enough to where you feel like you don't need somebody else to help you, but they're big enough to where when you're doing it all yourself, your back is like, fuck off.
Yeah.
So
are you just a slabber?
Yeah, I'm a slabber. Absolutely. All right. Also, Netflix. Let's talk about Netflix. Mm-hmm. Robin, you've been watching Space Force.
Space Force.
Yeah.
Space Force was quite a surprise.
It's on my next watch list.
So, Space Force. So, it's the guy from The Office. God, what is his name? Right. Damn it.
Steve Carell.
Him. Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Really can be really hit and miss. This is not what I expected it to be. And as Steve and the other guy, the famous actor, God almighty, Robin. Look it up, Mark. Him. Oh. Yes.
I'm finding the trailer.
Yeah, yeah. Look up the. Yeah. Yeah, him. Anyway, so I watched the first couple. I expected this just to be a complete another dig at Trump and Space Force and all the other bits and pieces for it there. And it wasn't just
John
a
Malkovich.
Dig. John Malkovich. Yeah. It wasn't just a dig at him. It was a dig at everybody and the pointlessness of the human race and fighting with each other and stuff like that there. Really, really good. But it turns into this beautiful, lovely comedy, romantic sort of thing, but funny and ironic and all the way through. And it's not as funny. Yeah, well, I don't really rate The Office, to be honest with you. I'm one of those people that didn't. I mean, yes, now and again, but okay, it didn't make me cry with laughing. Bits of it, yes, very funny, but not all of it. But this is it's gentle. It's not in your face. You know, funny trying to be that way. You know, there's the stuff with his daughter and relationships, and yeah, it's good. Lockwear? I don't know. It's good. It's good fun. It's gentle.
I want to watch.
It's not mega budget. You know, it feels. You know, that comes out of this big budget thing, but you know, it's quite. It's funny. It's lighthearted, and it's worth watching.
It's on my next watch list. Right now, I am two-thirds of the way through Ozark.
I love that.
So
I still got season 3 to watch.
The trailer looks good. Is it as good as the trailer?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
The trailer doesn't do it justice.
Really? Ozark, it's Netflix version of Breaking Bad. That's the best way to describe Ozark. It really is. You know, it follows Jason Bateman, who is a numbers guy. So think of, you know, an accountant. But he's basically doing this work for the mob. Yeah. Not the mob.
Laundering
cartel.
Dirty money.
Laundering money or something.
Laundering money. Yep. And it starts off, it actually started off pretty flat for me. I didn't really love the first two episodes. I was kind of like, okay. I'm kind of interested, but I wasn't like really taken by it. And then the third episode hit, and I was just like, oh, okay,
yeah,
I'm in.
It ramps up, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And so it has been a fantastic watch so far. And I've heard season 3 is even better.
Yeah, season 2 is good. I've still got season 3 to watch.
Because that's the thing with these seasons. They're a big commitment, aren't they? And I've seen it pop up, and I've just like, I like the trailer, and I think, oh, is this worth investing time into? And I've not known anybody really, you know, watch it, so...
Everybody I've talked to that has watched it has loved it.
Okay.
But not a lot of people know of it.
No.
Because it didn't get the attention that Breaking Bad got.
Rich Webster told me about this. That's why I watched this.
Is it wife friendly? Is there a lot of bad language? Is there a lot of absolute horrible violence?
My wife likes it. And she likes Breaking Bad, though.
in that tone that Robin just framed for us.
No, Judith wouldn't watch Breaking Bad. No.
It is not wife friendly.
No.
I will just put it this way. Nudity is prevalent. Some pretty horrific violence happens. And the swearing actually is not too bad. It comes and goes, depending upon who you're following.
Put it this way, Game of Thrones is a no-no for Judith.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be Judith's cup of tea. Cindy, likewise, I started watching it. She was like, eh. She liked Breaking Bad, but I don't think this hooked her. But again, we only were watching the first two episodes together.
Okay.
I've continued on watching it. Absolutely enjoying it. So highly recommend.
Yeah, I've got this week off work because we were supposed to go away this week. Which was...
We were supposed to... Santa?
I get 6 weeks a year because I've been there that long. But we were supposed to be on holiday this week. I shouldn't have been here tonight. I should have been away like you guys have your holidays cancelled.
So do I.
Yeah, mine's been cancelled. So it's been rescheduled to September now. So this week I'm going to make sure I watch season 3 of Ozark.
So, good. Hmm. Well, there you go. All right. Well, I think that does it for us. Let's talk games. Let's talk about video games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Now, Pete, look, there's not a lot of things you share with Kim. Your first name starts with 4 letters. Hers is 3 letters. You're Ginger. She's a wannabe Ginger. I think that's about as close as it gets.
Yeah.
I think you have a little bit, maybe edging around on the hotness side. I don't know. The beard, it's got.
No.
Actually.
I know what we have in common. Pete's got a picture of half-naked men on his wall as well.
Yes, that is true. He does. He does.
He's thinking, how does he know that?
When have you been to my house?
Yeah. You didn't blur your camera in time, Pete. But Pete, if you could please do your best Kim impression and talk about what games we can get for the month of June that might be free if we pay for a subscription.
All righty. Okay. So, games with gold. Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, available June 1st to June 30th on Xbox One. Coffee Talk, that's available June 16th to July 15th on Xbox One. Destroy All Humans, I've always wanted to play that game. Available June 1st to June 15th, and that's on Xbox One and 360. Is it Sign, Mora? Available June 16th to June 30th on Xbox One and Xbox 360. And also available from Maze Games of Gold, Warhammer 40,000 Inquisitor, Martyr. Available 16th of May to June 15th. PlayStation Plus, we've got Call of Duty World War II. So it's Call of Duty World War II. And that's available all June. And Star Wars Battlefront 2. Twitch Prime Games, Forsaken Remastered, Observer, Project Warlock, Steel Rats, The Flame in the Flood, Dream Daddy, and we'll leave it there, Stadia Pro for June, The Elder Scrolls Online, which is available on June 16th, Super Hot, Panzer Dragoon Remake, and what is that?
Can't you remember from last week?
Yeah. Get whole lot packed, and Little Nightmares. So that's pretty much.
Power Rangers. Yeah, you missed one.
for all those Power Ranger fans. Power Rangers Battle for the Grid. That's another Stadia Pro game available June. That's pretty much it.
Wow.
Hey, fun fact, Stadia Pro canceled my subscription.
Yeah, I did mine week before, yeah.
What I do? Did they do it? Did they cancel it or what? What do they do?
Do you play it, Robin?
No.
Cancel.
Fucking cancel it.
Okay.
Because there's some executive, and he's like, sensible, look at the penetration we have in Bellamina, Ireland. This guy's been there from day one.
Yeah. He switched it on 5 times, yes. Wow.
Yeah, he pays all that money every month, and he's downloaded 3 megabytes.
You've seen the dashboard that should be in 4K and 1080p.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Yeah, okay.
I don't want to feel like a mess night, you know?
I hear you. but they don't have anything that's exclusive.
I have a PlayStation subscription as well, you know.
I'm guilty of that as well, Robin, to be honest. I've not been on my PlayStation for ages. It runs out next month.
It took me a year and a half to cancel Humble Bundle.
Oh, I keep forgetting to pause mine.
Okay, let's get started here. I want to talk about Minecraft Dungeons straight away.
Yeah. Please do. Let's talk about Minecraft Dungeons.
Okay, the best things, believe it or not, come from North Yorkshire. Okay?
West Yorkshire as well.
I don't believe.
Yorkshire absolutely. Is the God's country of a country.
Absolutely. And Middlesbrough is not a bad little town. And in a town called Middlesbrough, there is a development studio called Double 11. And Double 11 were tasked with the task from the great, the glorious Microsoft and Mojang Studios to make Minecraft Dungeons. And that's where it was made, in the north of England. Isn't that really good, lad? With a whippet and everything. I have been playing Minecraft Dungeons. I am a massive lover of Diablo 4. Diablo 3. And it's a fabulous game. This is that sort of like...
Sorry.
Wow. That is an epic failure. Epic failure.
I'll tell you again. I did this last week. I went to type in the Twitch chat and I had my soundboard activated. Sorry.
So you got to say about Minecraft Dungeons, it has all the quick drop-in that you can have up to four players drop-in. It's very, very easy to do that. It's very, very easy to see what friends you have playing it. You drop in, you go through procedurally generated dungeons. I would say the word to describe Minecraft Dungeons would be charming. So it has all of those lovely little characters that you know and love, and a few that look like Joe Biden in a suit coming at you with crossbows. And which makes me very gigglesome at the moment, because if he doesn't know me by now, he ain't a Minecraft character. And I'm almost at the end, I believe. I think I've got two little levels to go. Each stage by yourself takes about half an hour. It isn't easy as you carry on. Some of the monsters, even in normal mode, it's a bit challenging. Lots of loot drops where I am now, so it's really cool weapons. And like Minecraft, the game, you can enchant them. Also like Diablo, you can enchant them as well. There seems to be part of the map where it says that there's going to be a whole new area is going to open up. And I think this is a service type game as well. I haven't had a chance to play with you guys yet. I dropped in with a couple of people. That my friends just didn't chat with them, just jumped in and played along with them. And I'd love to do that because I think it would be lots of fun. So very, very clever. One of the levels I finished last night was in a desert area, and you were in a tomb, and you had to pick up some keys. And the little keys looked straight out like something out of a little Nintendo game. So you picked up the key, and the key was like a little character. What was that one, the Nintendo game? Your brother loves it, Pete. And the little, you have to herd these little characters around. They like have little long hairs that come out. They all look like little peas with the long hair.
Is it Pikmin?
Pikmin. Yeah. Okay. So the keys look just like Pikmin. So when you pick up the gold key to open the gold door, you have this little Pikmin key. If you get shot or hit, it drops on the ground again, and it starts to make its way back to base or back toward it again, but it just looks like a Pikmin. So there's some very, very clever, some nods to other games. It's a lovely little game. It's not as deep or as big as Diablo, but if you like this, you'll love Diablo, and I can't wait to play with you guys on it as well. So
I've never played Diablo before, but I've started to play this game, and I was a bit dubious at first starting it up, and I got sucked into it straight away. Like, yesterday was the first time I played it, and I only played the tutorial just to get to the camp. And I was, Shell says, oh, should we watch a film? And I was like, yeah, right, I'll just play this game first. Just play, like, the tutorial just to get used to controls and that. And I didn't want to put it down, in all honesty. I was just like, oh, my God, I just want to fire this back up again. So I played it again today, and I played three missions, three of the first missions. So I've only played in offline mode. I've not played online.
Right.
But it seems like there's a lot to do. I don't know how long how big the game is. I've not checked that out at all. I've just got
really. I think there's about 10 or 12 levels in this first batch of game before the map opens up. Right. So you've got like roughly, if you're firing it through, about half hour to 40 minutes per. As Dan and the guys are saying in the chats right now, Scott Stubby, you do, when you die, it's a bit like a Mario game. You have a finite amount of lives.
Yeah.
So if you get killed three times, you get kicked out and you have to start that level again. And they're saying they're getting frustrated with the end boss because they keep dying.
Well, at the minute, because I've only just started the game off, I'm selecting, I'm not going on easy, I'm going on two more difficult.
Yeah, medium, yeah.
I've ramped it up a little bit just to earn that extra, you earn some extra points, don't you, and stuff. I've not cracked the whole enchantment thing yet. I'll probably just need to play around with it a bit more. But
it'll come to you. It'll come.
But I think it's an amazing game. I mean, I think the only one gripe I've got with it is the repetitive sounds when you're thrashing out your sword and you know, killing people, and it's just like that. It's like three hits, isn't it? Yeah. And you're that super move or whatever it is. But it starts to get a bit.
This is an entry drug for Diablo, because Diablo is just wonderful. And as far as hardness levels or skill levels in Diablo, there's about 40. It's just, you know, ramping up and 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 up, and it makes the game more and more playable. So it's cool. What I play with, I have the map. There's like a map overlay that you have, and I play it with it on the screen most of the time.
You press down on the direction.
Yeah, down on the D-pad and the map part on the screen. I play that most of the time because a lot of it is about searching every nook and cranny and every hidden area, and that's where you find the extra loot and stuff like that there. So, that's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
Can you play online altogether? It's just one thing.
Four,
I'm not,
I think it's
four. Four people.
But is it a bit like Gauntlet? Are you all on the map at the same time?
Yeah.
Class.
Yeah, and I'm sure it ranks up that difficulty a bit when you're playing with other people as well.
Yeah, I hope so.
I've got to level 6 at the minute, me personally. I'm only on power level 1 or something like that, and my character's a little bald guy with a ginger beard, so fits quite well.
Look, there's a point where after a while it doesn't really matter what looks. You're looking for the more powerful thing. I have a thing called a glaive, which is a big, long spiky pike sword thing with a blade in the end of it, and a really rapid crossbow that fires flame arrows, and all the bits and pieces that you pick up. So, and there's cooldown, so I can call in a llama, and the llamas, which are in Minecraft, that go around with the salesmen that sell you stuff in Minecraft. Well, there's a llama appears like that, but he spits or at the enemies. He works for you as well, so which is kind of cool. So it's cute. As I said, I think charming describes it, but it definitely it's not a little. Well, probably kids would be brilliant at it, but you know, it's not the young. It's not, you know, put it. Probably a 5-year-old will be perfect these days, but you know, there's a challenge to it as well. You know,
when it's a different type of gameplay from Minecraft, so I think it's appealing to a slightly different audience. Even though I'm sure every Minecraft player out there thinks that, you know, maybe this is the next game they gravitate to, but I do, you know, I do get a sense of it being very different from Minecraft, outside of the aesthetic.
No building.
It seems like this game is going to be, as you mentioned, Robin, kind of a services over long haul. Yeah. They're going to add things to it, very similar to Diablo. You know, Diablo came out and then they started adding expansion packs. They just included them in. They added updates. I think that's the new future of a lot of games. And a game like this will just benefit from that, you know, especially since they're procedurally generated dungeons. So there's a lot of replay value here. You know, there's not really a linear path to follow. So that's good.
Well, I'm glad I joined from the get go. And that's only thanks to Game Pass, you know.
Yeah. Again,
man, it's just ace.
Because of my love of Diablo, I probably would have bought this. But the Game Pass, it's the best. I'm sorry, PlayStation guys. It is the best ticket in town. It is just fabulous. Day and day one.
Well, I think that's the thing. Oh. The commitment to day one releases on Game Pass makes it truly a different type of. I mean, it makes it that Netflix subscription.
And again, in this case, it looks like. I mean, it does say on the map, new stuff coming soon, available to buy.
Right.
So I'm quite sure that part, that those expansions will not be on Game Pass. You will have to buy that bit of it. I don't mind that.
No. It's giving you the opportunity to play, hasn't it, and understand what the game is all about.
As long as it's not horse armor. You know, as long as it's not unfairly priced, you know, kind of gouging types of scenarios, I think that's a good call. But
if they say $7.99 for an extra part of the map or something like that, you're willing to invest it, especially... Well, you'd want to if it's giving you that service.
Right. Yeah, they're not quite. It'll be right. It'll be okay. It'll be good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's shift gears. Let's talk GTA roleplay, Mark.
Oh, goodness me.
I know. We've got to talk about this. Mark,
what is a Teletubby in the background for? Why do you have the smallest Teletubby in the background? Which is, I believe, the smallest Teletubby is Pope. I've also seen a pink Cadillac there, I think, as well now.
Yeah. And there's a minion and stuff.
Oh, this is what you play with when you're not on the computer?
Yeah. Let me get the video up for this. Right, okay, so a lot of changes to my GTA role-playing shenanigans. A lot of changes. So the past couple of weeks I've just been doing... gardening, which Kim found amusing and thought I was a gigolo, but no, I was gardening. But there are certain jobs on the server which are what's called whitelisted, which you have to apply for. You can't just select one when you want. And there was a job come up for a mechanic for Horizon, which is the aviation company in this server. So I applied for that and I got it. So I'm now a aviation mechanic, but we're also now expanding into marine crafts. So I do boats as well, and it's awesome. I've been doing it since I think it was Wednesday last week.
So let's slow this down for a second, Mark. So you have gotten yourself involved with GTA online role playing, where you play the role of a character in the GTA world.
Yeah.
Your choice of initial profession was a gardener.
It wasn't a choice. It was the best option to earn money quickly to get established.
Okay, so your choice was to play a gardener because of the perks it gave you. Okay, well, I'll give that to you. I'll concede that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, your... out of work experience, and what I mean by this is your leisure time, Mark, your leisure time away from when you are a mechanic in real life is playing a game online where you are a mechanic.
But this time on aircraft and boats, which I've never done.
Oh,
so it's different.
Okay.
I've got to improvise and...
In his defense,
helicopters, aeroplanes.
Right.
And you're all about stats at work. And when we're out of work and we're on this podcast, you're still all about stats. You're just stats in a different different environment and stats in a different industry, all about gaming. And you're really heavy on stats. So whatever you do in work sometimes does portray what you do out of work as well.
I think it's the comfort zone because you know it. So
Okay. Hold on. All right.
I did originally apply for... a medic's role, but I didn't get it, so this is second best. I'm still going to try and get the medic's thing and do both, because you can do multiple roles.
Well, thank God for that, because here's my question. Here's my real question, Mark.
Yeah.
So when you're playing the role of a mechanic, okay, plane comes in, it's broke.
Yeah.
Guy walks up, he's got, I got a broke dick plane, I need you to fix it.
Yeah.
What do you actually do to fix it?
This is a role-playing part of it because
okay.
there's a guy already there has been there a while, and he's the main mechanic, and I'm new, so he's been showing me the ropes. Right, you're going to love this. Right, so to fix a plane or a boat, what you do is, we only have access to it, no one else has access to these, and it's a special toolbox. Right, so we just sit in the vehicle, activate this toolbox, you get a progress bar, and it repairs the plane, the helicopter, the boat, in about 10, 15 seconds, yeah? But you can't just do that. You have to role play it. So you have to go around with a clipboard. You have to inspect the plate. You have to do a report, an inspection report. Rotor blade bent. Air induct debris, wheel shaft bent or something.
Now, do you actually make a report or do you just have to say you're making a report?
There's a separate Discord server for the aviation company. We have got Word documents with a template. I have to fill in a proper report and submit that.
But that's what mechanics do anyway.
I'll tell you what,
that's going to cost you £300. Hang on. I've noticed that as well.
And it is like that because then the Horizon manager will then contact the owner of said aircraft or said boat and say, it's going to cost you £20,000.
and then they say,
fix it. So I have to pretend to be going like this, fixing stuff.
I would just like to point out, Hardly Dan has nailed it right now in the chat. Yes, but, equally, I am very much less interested in this at the moment.
Greg's line of questions is making this sound boring, but I've had some really exciting stuff happen while I've been doing this role. I've only been doing this role a few days. One day we had a millionaire who's owns a lot of property and businesses on the server. He has a massive yacht, and he was out in a smaller yacht with some friends, and he broke down offshore. Right, so we had to scramble a helicopter to locate him because he was drifting quickly. He kept pinging a GPS signal, but every time we went out, we couldn't find it. I had to go out in my dinghy. It's not a little dinghy, not a fucking room. It's a proper twin engine fucking dinghy, right? You know, like the army use. you brought out to sea. Right, so I was trying to find him in my dinghy so I could repair it. Yeah. And then the manager went out in a larger multi-seated craft to rescue the passengers. We finally found him. He's just edging the border of the map. So if it hit the border, I don't know what would have happened. We rescued the people.
It would have fallen off the earth.
Flat earth, yeah. I got the boat repaired and drove it back to shore, which took about 5 minutes. That's how far out it was. I just abandoned my dinghy out to sea. So I brought the massive, expensive yacht back to dock. And then I had to do like this pretend inspection and that and tell him what it was. So that was exciting. And then yesterday, I was just in the workshop pottering about in the hangar, and I got a radio call from the manager saying, is any mechanics on duty? And I went, yep, Mech 2's available. We have call signs, so I'm Mech 2, the other one's Mech 1, obviously. He wasn't on, I was the only one on. I said, right, okay, jump in the flatbed truck, meet me at this location, ping me a location. It was right at the top of the map in Sandy Shores. And I get there, and there's a stolen helicopter being crash-landed, and we had to get this on the flatbed. I had to drive it back down all the way to the hangar. But because this was a big load with a rotor blades, I had a full police escort. It was, like you see on the TV, it was proper organised. The police would do it in sections. They'd block all the roads off. They'd put barriers up. The cars would block the junctions off. And then I'd get so far down the road, then another team of cars would meet up, and they'd carry on. I was just insane. I get into the city part and I stopped at some traffic lights, and this cop pulled up beside me and put over the loudspeaker, says, "Don't stop, don't stop." And it just let me go for all the red lights right to the hangar.
Sounds amazing.
It was different. It's totally different. Right.
I get it. Yeah. I get it's different. And I think it's going to take a certain type of individual to really appreciate.
Yeah. It just gets you. And John Mouse is now on the server I'm on. I've not managed to
Please
get...
Please tell me he's a gardener as well.
Need to finish it?
He did the garden.
Almost.
he has done a bit of gardening, but he's doing the G4 security vans, transporting money around, and he's doing a bit of taxi service. So yeah, I've not managed to get online with at the same time with him yet. So yeah, and right, okay, so you can have a second character, which I've set up one as a criminal, which is Walter Gray, no relation to Walter White, but I've not really played him much. Now, yesterday they opened up applications for the police service, but something totally different. Guess what the job role is? A canine unit. Yes, a dog. Police dog. Nice. You can play as a police dog, and I've applied. So Walter Gray might be disappearing, and I might be becoming a police dog soon.
Nerd Allegiance says GTA reminds me of the real. GTA reminds me of real life, or is it the other way around?
Yeah, no, it's real life. It's not classed as a realism role play server. It's classed as a serious role play server. So there are some sort of like variations to realism, but it is, you have to take it seriously. The police service is insane. If anyone wants to watch, there's a guy called Matt Paladin on Twitch. He streams a lot. He's one of the high command police officers. He does a lot of the interviews for the officers. His firearms unit. And like I was saying last week, if you shoot a weapon, you have to fill in a discharge form for weapons discharge. You have to count for every bullet you use. It's just absolutely insane.
I mean, the same thing happens in real life.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
America, that's what happens. Yeah, our cops have to file out a police report if they fire off their weapon.
Yeah.
That's why they do chokeholds.
Yeah, there are a few Americans on the server, but it is British themed. I'm not letting you finish. It's no, British themed, so.
Pete's reaction to that was priceless.
All right. Yeah. I didn't see. But I love it, I don't care what you guys think. I love it. It's taken up all my time this week. Apart from a little bit of a game we're going to talk about in a bit with Baby Shark Doo-Doo-Doo. I've just been on this for hours on end. So absolutely love it.
All right. I get it. You do love this game.
Yeah, you can probably tell by my voice how passionate I am about it. It's just, I'll probably wear thin of it in a couple of months like I did with Elite Dangerous. I still love Elite Dangerous, but I've not been on it because I'm playing this. So, yeah, until the next big thing comes along, I'm loving this.
Elite Dangerous, they did announce that the next episode is going to allow you to walk on planets.
Space legs. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky. Cross with Star Citizen. Right.
Let us get out of the waters of GTA. Let us dive into the ocean of Maneater. Right. So I have been playing Maneater. Mark, I know you played a little bit of Maneater this past week.
Yeah. It's all right.
Okay. Maneater, the shark RPG game. So I'm up to level 11, I believe, now. Finally got my shark into adult life. And so it has evolved into an adult shark. It is kind of funny because the evolution from a teen shark to an adult shark, you transform, the shark suddenly, it looks like it's a proper Jaws shark.
It looks a mean bastard when you get to adult. Yeah.
It's got some scarring. It just looks like it is out to eat anything and everything. And that's pretty much this game. I mean, my shark is powerful enough to where I take on pretty much anything I've come across so far, killed one of the hunters. And as your shark kills more humans, one of the things that kind of like a GTA kind of thing, your notoriety level goes up.
It's like a wanted level, but it's called a threat level, isn't it? Yeah.
Threat level. Yeah. 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 And so when the threat level goes up, obviously they want to kill the shark that's killing humans in the area. Killing humans has to be the most satisfying thing.
Yeah.
Multiple levels. One, when they're in their boat, you feel like your Jaws. I mean, I like to go deep, and then I like to just shoot right up into the boat.
I was just going
to
say, there's nothing more exciting and satisfying than jumping out the water and just chomping on one and grabbing them and taking them back under the water.
Yep.
It's just so satisfying. Yep.
And the humans, when you attack them, there's some great written dialogue. Why me? Why me? You know, things like that. They're screaming, they're help, you know, that kind of stuff. It all has this funny kind of comic vibe to it. And then, of course, there's the narrator to the game, which comes across.
Yeah,
it's like a Shark Week documentary, in terms of how the dialogue is given from the narrator. And he does it for everything, especially when you die. He always makes some kind of comment on how you died, and
very just sarcastic, funny little quips. And piss taking,
But this game has just been a delight for me. It is one that I wanted to take a chance on, and I'm so glad I did. It was only $40, so I think it's properly priced. It's not. This isn't a game to me that screams, you know, it has polish to it, but it's not so, you know, it's not AAA quality. You're not going to be like, oh my God, this is game of the year. But for something that's different, for something that's fun, and you are going to be able to sink a ton of time into it, for $40, it's a steal, if you ask me.
Yeah. The bad points I don't like about it, the annoyances, mainly the camera and the lock-on system. When you're locking onto a creature and you're trying to attack it, it can shift without you knowing, or it'll just lose a lock-on and it's hard to bite on them. Especially the smaller predators like the barracudas and stuff. It can be quite frustrating, but apart from that, I just love this game.
Speaking to that, Mark, real quick, though, one of the things that I kind of came to a conclusion on, and it kind of helped me in terms of how I go about attacking, I attack, instead of just trying to lock on to my target, I do attack passes, almost if I was in an airplane. Yeah. So I like swim at it, I attack it. I hit it, and then I turn around, and I come back, and I hit it again. And that made the lock-on issue far less of a problem than if I was just trying to stay locked onto something, trying to attack it.
Yeah. What I found was, in the first part of the game, from being a pup to a teen, basically up to level 10, you're a young shark and you're quite vulnerable. Once you hit level 10, you become an adult, and that's when the game totally changes. So getting up to level 9... it was quite a long process. It took you quite a while to level up. Once I hit 10 and became an adult and I opened up the different areas, that's where the humans start appearing, and the, like Greg was saying, the notoriety. You get the hunters, the named hunters. I've killed 3 of them now, and they give you a lot of XP. And within an hour, I'd gone to level 11. So it'd take me days to get leveled up to 10. And then within an hour, I'm going up levels. As soon as you become an adult, it's a different game. You're just so badass. It's so good.
And you feel powerful.
Yeah. And you get unlocks as well. You get abilities, which aren't realistic as such, but you are mutated. It is radioactive, and it is like a bit Deep Blue Sea type thing. So I've got electrified teeth now. What's up, Robin? You're falling asleep, love?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was muted.
So I've got electrified teeth. I've got upgraded sonar abilities. I've got upgraded protein. So there's still a load more to unlock. They're all locked at the moment. So I'm looking forward to getting all the different upgrades. What have you got upgrade-wise, Greg, so far?
I'm right there with you. So the thing is, you can get these upgrades, and then you can actually level up your upgrades.
Yeah.
So you get different kinds of currency, for lack of a better way to put it, for killing different types of creatures.
Yeah,
so some creatures give you proteins, others give you, I honestly don't remember what they're called, but it's like basically, there's yellow, red, and blue.
Yeah.
And so certain upgrades for abilities require certain amounts of those different currencies. And depending upon the skill that you're trying to upgrade, it will use more of one type of currency over another. So what I have the electrified teeth, but I think I've got them to level 4.
Right. Okay.
And then you have the radar. I like the radar and I hate the radar all in the same breath, because it makes this pinging sound that sounds like a freaking submarine. So
it'd be better like a whale helpful. Sound, doesn't it? Yeah. More realistic.
I think
as a whale
it'd be
sound.
Better if it just didn't make a sound, because after a while, I kind of don't want to use the radar just because I get so tired of hearing the boom, boom. Anyway, and that is the professional radar sound. You can reach out to me if you need that. Sound effects. All right, so Maneater, it is great fun. Enjoying it, and I think we can move on from that. Let's see, what else do we have to talk about? Pete, you played golf with friends.
Yes. It was recommended last week. Was it Robin? Can't remember.
All three of us played golf with friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, hold on one.
I think Mark said as well, a child might probably like it because I've started to try and get her into gaming. And we had a good time with it. We played two maps. I can't remember what the first one was, but we played the other one, which was like the haunted house type map. And yeah, really enjoyed it. Crazy golf. You can't really describe anything else more about it. I suppose some of the views when you're trying to hit the ball are a little bit hit and miss. You think that they're a bit restrictive, but on a whole, the game's really good fun. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a riot
laugh. No, it is a great co-op game for sure, and obviously it offers up couch co-op. We had a blast playing it the other night. It's miniature golf. I forgot what you guys call it over in the UK.
Crazy golf.
It is in the true sense of the word. It is crazy fun. It's not realistic in the slightest, and that's okay.
No,
it serves its purpose well.
I think another thing is that you don't get much time to try and when you can look out of the normal aiming mode, can't you, and have a free view for about, I don't know, is it 10 seconds or something like that. It doesn't feel like you get enough time to look at everything that's around you and take it all in before you start your game. But that's just one of those things. Sometimes you get a little bit lost. You zoom off, or I know Shell did zoom off like over the other side of the earth, and it would just look, oh my god, you can't.
It's a good thing and a bad thing. It does have a timer, so when you do get stuck and you're screwed, it doesn't break the game.
No.
Because imagine you couldn't complete the hole you're playing on, you're totally screwed. So they have that built in. It works well enough. I do wish they really would allow you to pause the game in real time.
Yeah,
That would have helped me immensely, and I probably would have won. Anyway,
you're very bitter about that, aren't you, Greg?
I am. This is basically on the same level of Last of Us knife blocks at this point. Hey, look, I'm going to give a quick shout out. I feel the need at this point to shout out our chatters. So we have a bunch of people in the chat. We've got Aten, Commander Root, Hardly Dan, Hot Local Mom.
Ooh.
Just wanted to point that one out. Martin, we've got Needham, Nerd Allegiance, Scott Stubby, and Sirsby. Did I say that right? I don't know. Either way, thanks everybody for listening and tuning in while we're ranting away here. All right. Let's move from golf with friends. Let's talk about Gears Tactics. Played some more Gears Tactics. In fact, I was playing Gears Tactics prior to the show. Prior to us jumping into this. I'm still really enjoying this game. The one thing I wish more than anything for Gears Tactics is that all of these maps and the campaign itself was using procedurally generated maps as opposed to pre-rendered maps. I don't believe they are procedurally generated, so the experience is going to be basically the same because it's kind of a linear story for the single player. And there is no multiplayer. There is no, kind of co-op to this game. So it is a single player only experience. That for me is the one area where I truly would, call it out and complain. But outside of that, if you're looking for an XCOM-like experience, I think Gears Tactics nails it. It provides a nice level of challenge. It's got weapon upgrades. You are able to have some player. What's the right word I'm trying to look for? Player deaths matter in that they are going to impact your team. But there are certain characters, and you'll know. So any named character, they're going to be fail. Blocks, if you will. So yeah, if that character dies, mission fails you, and you have to retry the mission. So I wish they didn't have that. I get they have to have that, I guess, because of the linear campaign style of experience they're giving. But there are characters that are expendable, if you will, that you spend time leveling up. they can die. And if they do die in those instances, it will be a mission failure screen, and or not a mission failure screen. You just move on without them. But overall, as in terms of XCOM, and I'm a huge XCOM fan, I'm not a big fan of XCOM Chimera Squad right now.
Right.
I have not been getting along with that well. And to me, Gears Tactics is giving me what I was really kind of hoping for.
That's good.
For an XCOM-like experience. So,
and again, it's on Game Pass if you've got PC, Ultimate Game Pass.
It is on Game Pass PC. It is also, I believe, out on Steam. So if you don't want deal with Game Pass Windows Store, you can get it from Steam, I think.
That's good.
Don't quote me on that. That may be there. But it is PC only right now. Still has not come to console, even though it fully supports gamepad. So I, you know, obviously it is going to come to console at some point, just a matter of when. All right. That I think does it, unless there's anything I missed.
I just went to the toilet. Yeah. And I could shoot some kids right now, because there's nothing worse than going out to the toilet and finding a floater.
Oh.
Really? And two bottle tops. What the hell's that all about, kids? Frank me.
Sounds like you've got some things to deal with. Pete, Fractured Minds.
Yes.
What is this?
Let's talk Fractured Minds. This is, again, something I found on Game Pass. It's a very short game. It's a puzzle role-playing game designed, developed by a British game designer called Emily Mitchell. And apparently, it's something about exploring anxiety and mental health issues. I don't know what made me click onto it and install it, but I just thought, well, I'll give it a go because it's on Game Pass, and I said from when Game Pass come out, I'll just start playing different games, and I thought I'll just click onto this, and I didn't realize it was going to be as short as it was. It was really, really short, so I don't know whether Emily Mitchell is just in the whole. I'm gonna read into her story, but I don't know whether she's just starting out developing games. I don't know how long she's been in it, and you know, she's obviously put a lot of time into it. I thought the game graphically it's simple, but it's cute. It works well. I think it froze up on me once on one of the levels. I think there's about six levels altogether.
Can I? What is the purpose? I mean, is it to escape this room? Is that the whole purpose? I mean, I'm watching the video right now, and I see 1,000 keys in this room. Apparently, they're all the wrong key.
Yeah, that's right. It's almost like a puzzle game. You've got to work your way out of the room, and once you've worked your way out, then that's the end of the level. It's as simple as that. So the first level that you're seeing on the video footage here, you're in a bedroom. You wake up. You see this thing come through the door. And it's almost like a ghoul with like the guy from Scream with a bit of a scary character, and you're just like, okay, what's going on? Then all of a sudden it goes back into your bedroom, and you're just walking around, and there's different things that you do. You can move different parts of the bedroom, like the picture, and you can open drawers, and then you discover that there's a key, and you pick that up, and it says wrong key, and then you pick another one up, and it says wrong key, and you start. But wrong key sticks on the screen, and it doesn't go away, and it's almost like, oh, it's in the way, it's getting to me, or it's really, really strange. And eventually, I'm not going to spoil anything, but you do work it out, because you know you can move everything around the room, and
eventually you figure out you could have gone out the window.
Jump.
I liked how you picked one key up, and then everything went black, and there was loads of messaging on the wall.
Yeah, that was interesting.
It's almost when you find as you start to go through each part of the level, it's almost things just generate and just appear in front of you when you thought, well, hang on, that wasn't there before, and it kind of makes you double think. You know, was that there in the first place? And it does make it kind of weird. It does make you question yourself. The video footage now, when you're in another room, there's loads of balloons on the floor, and you can pick up the balloons and you find a pin. And I spent like about 5 minutes trying to pop all these balloons, and you couldn't even do that anyway. It's not anything to do with the balloons. I worked through the game probably in about 40 minutes. I don't, maybe quicker than that. I've got, so the whole game, 40 minutes, I got 900 points out of 1,000.
So it's that quick.
All right.
You get, so you get some gamer points in that if you're an achievement hunter. But I was confused then as to, well, hang on, where did I miss this last achievement out? And I found out then looking for the achievements, it was in level 4. So I thought I'll go back.
Has he got a chapter select thing, or do you have to do the whole thing again?
No,
all right, that's good then.
Yeah, it's not like it. It's not like a
selector.
It gets you having to go through the whole game again. But you do, because you've got to play it for yourself, because I don't quite understand the premise of it. It's almost like you're kind of locked in your own head and you're trying to work your way out.
It's supposed to help alleviate anxiety or cause it.
No, it didn't cause it at all. I found it quite relaxing. I thought the levels are kind of pretty in their own way. They were simply drawn. The scary evil character, which I'm not going to spoil it, but the scary evil character anyway is kind of cute. And I think it's a good game for what it is, and it gives you 1,000 points. Like I said, I went back to level 4 and I still couldn't do it, and I was thinking, well, what is it? The achievement is, have you seen it or have you seen him? Something like that. Anyway, I was like, I can't work it out, so I had to YouTube it. I hate cheating normally, but I had to YouTube it. And if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have ever done it. I would have never. So if nobody's ever played this, give it a go, because it's literally, you'll do this in under an hour. You'll get 1,000 points and try and beat level 4 and get all of the achievements, or try and beat the game and get your 1,000 points
without looking online.
Good trippy moment.
Yeah,
good trippy moment on screen right now. He's going into this room. He goes through the door, and then he's in the snow globe, looking back out into the room. But anyway,
all right. No,
so, don't play any more footage, Mark. Turn the footage off. Right, this is level 4.
Right. Okay. So, have you played What Remains of Edith Finch, then, Pete?
No, I've not played. Right. No.
If you like this, you will love What Remains of Edith Finch.
Sorry. What is this? Mark. Sorry. I was distracted with.
We've floating turds and bottle tops.
What is this called again? What is this
fractured
called?
Mind.
Fractured minds.
And it's
fractured minds.
Yeah, Game Pass. I'm going
to
download
welcome
this.
To the podcast, like Robin. Yeah,
sorry, I apologize. Yeah. I wasn't in nuts.
Yeah.
Give it a go. Under 60 minutes, you'll get 1,000 points. I think it's worth playing. And I take my hat off to the designer. I think she's only a young person and. Fresh into, I don't know. I mean, I could be offending her now, and she's probably like, no,
I'm really absolutely.
But I think from how the game's portrayed, and this to me looks like a young person who's probably gone through some type of anxiety or problem at the start. Yeah.
Why is Elvis jumping into my head right now? We can't go on together with fractured minds.
God,
Robin, none of us ever truly can tell you why anything goes on in your head.
Definitely try What Remains of Edith Finch, Pete.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. You play it. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And not take up too much of your time either.
I hope she designs another game like this, because it gives you achievement points really quickly. It's not too bad. The playability. It's ace. Like I say, it's simple but good.
I've just queued it up now on the Game Pass app. Yep.
Good to go. It's worth it. It's on all platforms as well. You can get it on PlayStation 4, Xbox One,
it's on
Nintendo
PC as well, because I've got the footage what I played. That was a PC footage.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So that's excellent. Yeah. Fractured Minds.
All right. Well, I think from there. Unless we need to talk about Warzone, but I think we've talked about Warzone enough. Call of Duty Warzone.
Did you get a win, Pete?
Did you get a win, Pete?
I've only got second is the best I've got.
Move on, man.
I'm going to move on. I'm doing bad.
No news.
Apart from the updates, 30 gig. Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yep, the updates are tough, but they do have duos now, which is nice. So, there's that.
Yeah, anyway.
All right.
It's hot.
Let us move to the news.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. So last week, we were all set for Sony to unveil the big PS5 event. And due to external events outside of the control of Sony, they decided to delay their event. And we can only assume, and they have said that they will, announce a rescheduled time for the event, hopefully in June. That is my hope. But they have not given anything official as of yet. But I'm thinking this week we should hear something. EA Access, speaking of things that were postponed, EA Access on Steam was originally announced for spring 2020. And spring 2020 kind of came and went, and there was no EA Access on Steam.
I didn't even know it was coming to Steam. I missed that announcement completely.
Yeah. Well, apparently the subscription service will be coming to Steam, but in fact will now be summer. They haven't given any reason why for the delay, but I mean, COVID-19 has impacted a lot of development.
Their numbers of subscribers on EA Origins, their sort of like version of Steam, obviously isn't high enough, so they're having to branch out onto Steam now as well.
I mean, let's face it, Steam is the powerhouse when it comes to PC gaming. So not having your services on Steam is pretty limiting, I think, if you're trying to make an impact on PC. And heck, we've seen Microsoft has embraced Steam. I think we'll see more organizations that are trying to make that impact with PC. They'll continue to embrace Steam. EA also had the announcement a few weeks back where we got the first look at some Xbox Series X games, and they said that Madden NFL 21 was coming, and that you were going to be able to upgrade Madden 21 to the Xbox Series X for free as long as you got the game before March 31st of 2021. And after that, you would have to pay for it. Apparently, that didn't go over quite well. Pretty short window. But EA has quietly updated and said you will now be able to upgrade for free all the way until the arrival of Madden NFL 22.
So you got a year, basically.
Yeah. So if you buy Madden 21 and say in April you buy an Xbox Series X, you'll be able to upgrade to the Series X version of Madden 21 at no additional cost. And that's the way it should be. Especially as we're moving from generations, these upgrades where, it's a patch update, for the most part, for most of these games, it's not a different game. I think that's the important thing to note. It's not a different game. It's going to have some graphical upgrades. It'll do some things differently, but not significantly.
Did we talk about the different approaches that both Sony and Microsoft are taking to the new consoles as far as backwards compatibility is concerned?
We haven't, I think, talked about it in full because, quite honestly, it's been a bit ambiguous. And I think, one, we're kind of hoping the Sony event was going to clarify their position, because their position has been a little ambiguous. As you recall, Sony, when they first announced the PlayStation 5, they said that there were going to be roughly around 100 PlayStation 4 titles that you would be able to play right away. And then they said, well, that's just right away, but there will be more coming. And then there's been speculation running rampant that maybe they're going to charge for upgrades and maybe they won't. So I have not tried to dive into that because I'd rather just get them to be clear about what their position is. And then once we know what their position is, we can comment. Seems like the fair route to go.
Yeah.
So, Sony's been in a lot of news. So our next piece of news, and I just was scouring the news just to figure out what happened this past week. And Sony apparently fined $2.4 million. I don't even know what the Australian
currency Australian is. Dollars, yeah.
Yeah, Australian dollars for their illegal return policy. So apparently there were four PlayStation users in Australia that contacted Sony Europe believing that their downloaded games were faulty. Sony told those customers that the company did not have to refund them once a game was downloaded, And after 14 days had passed, Sony told them basically they had to go to the publisher to get a refund, that Sony itself wouldn't give them the refund. That apparently goes against Australian consumer law. And so therefore, Sony now has to pay this fine, $2.4
million. If that's $2.4 million, to put it into perspective for you, it's about $167 million US. It's a lot of money.
It's a pretty big slap. And more importantly, this is going to impact everybody because, I mean, in a sense, even though, say, U.S. law doesn't contain those kinds of regulations, unless Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo are going to try and have different policies for different parts of the world, likely they're just going to adopt policies that are going to universally cover them across the board. And so when something like this happens, I think the companies are going to be more likely to say, all right, well, let's just adopt a policy that plays well with Australian law as opposed to, well, we'll do everything this way except for Australia. It gets complicated, and I think they would be smart just to have a better policy.
That's shitty. You know, what the heck? It's a digital download. You know, depending on the bandwidth, that's brilliant.
All right. Well, our actual positive piece of news this week.
Oh, positive.
Hey,
yeah.
Sega at the beginning of last week had teased a huge announcement. In fact, I think it was Famitsu magazine had said that Sega had a massive announcement to make that was on the level of the PlayStation 5. And people ran with this crazy-ass rumors. People were talking about, Xbox is buying Sega. Then there was the Series X was going to be rebranded as the Sega, Series S in Japan. All of those rumors.
Rumors of Dreamcast 2 as well.
Yeah, Dreamcast 2, yes. And sadly for us.
Okay, it's kind of cool, but.
Yeah, have you seen the size of a fucking screen? I have trouble reading my phone. I have to have my glasses.
I have trouble with the proper Game Gear.
Stop. Let's just tell people what it actually is before you start commenting and going crazy. So what they did announce was the Game Gear Micro. So this is a incredibly small Sega Game Gear.
It says Micro it runs in the title.
It runs on two AAA batteries, or it can be run on a USB connection. It has a 1.15-inch screen.
It looks like the size, for people in the UK, it looks like about the size of a box of Swan matches, if you remember Swan matches. Yeah. So it's sort of long, rectangular, but not very big at all. It's a tiny little thing. But I want one. Gotta collect them all.
It looks okay. I'm a bit disappointed. Well, say a bit.
I'm completely disappointed.
Well, they could have. They made it that small. There's an official screen magnifier you can buy for it. Why didn't you just make it fucking bigger?
Because it'll sell anyway.
Yeah.
Funny, my arcade machines haven't arrived yet, so I can't because their screens are.
If I did get one of them, I'd get the black one with Sonic on it, but the others don't really interest me. There's four games on each one, and there's four different models, each different color.
It's the game. Is that right? $201.
What? It's going to be about 60 quid, I think.
Yeah, so each one will be 60 quid, but if you want to buy the four pack, it's going to be about $200.
I have Game Gear and the TV conversion that you can watch TV on it as well, like big cartridge thing you plug into it.
Thing is going to get lost in the crack of your couch, and you'll never see it again for years. That too.
A golf ball?
But let's just say it's coming October 6th, so be excited, I guess. For me, this was hugely anticlimactic. This should never have been. And maybe the guy that put it out there was taking the piss out of everybody because this was in no way means this mega announcement.
Yeah, too right.
Shit that you're going to have to buy one. Just to be part of
I have zero desire to buy this crap. No,
this will be worth a fortune in years to come.
No, well,
no, this is,
if I want to play Sonic, I'll go get my Mega Drive out of the loft.
Yeah, this I've is still the got kind of bullshit. There. When you're at the grocery store and you're standing in line and you look in the sides, you know, they have the racks of stuff that it's like the last minute buy, and you see, you know, they've got you know, gum. They'll have some beef jerky.
Holy shit. Sorry, I'm just looking. I don't know why, but it put me in the mood to buy an to have a look at how much my Atari Lynx is worth.
Oh, I used to have one of them.
Yeah, the Atari Lynx now, well, the cheapest I can see unboxed is 140 quid. Mm. Boxed is like 250 quid.
Right, great. For your 70th birthday, this I'll pass this back on to you, right? I'm going to buy one, and then I'll buy it boxed. I won't open it at all, and I'll save it until your 70th birthday. And
with a big magnifying glass.
I will take it.
$70.
Yeah, you can tell who owns one, because the kids will be playing it like normal, arm's length sort of thing, and then all us old folks will be playing it like this, right up to the fucking eyes. Because
you mean you have to use your hands?
Scott Stubby asks, can you hang it on your key ring?
Probably. Small enough.
I don't see a key ring. I do see the big window, though.
Yeah. There might be a little, like, they usually have like a thing where you can put a loop through it. So
it looks like there is, yes. Mm. So,
but it'll definitely go in your pocket.
Yeah. It looks like just a slightly larger remote for a car.
Yeah. It's about the size of a packet of cigs, isn't it?
Yeah. They really do need a run-up kick in the nuts, don't they, the design team? You just think,
just Japanese in general, they're just bonkers mad. Absolutely.
I know, but they are smaller. I mean, they are smaller people, so they get closer to the components.
Quick, move on, Greg, quick.
Yeah, let's move on. All right, we're done with that. Robin, why don't we wrap Victory Achieved and the upcoming game calendar all into one?
Okay, the upcoming game calendar. There's stuff coming out, and it's looking pretty good. So you can look that up at gameinformer.com/2020. Victory Achieved. There's games that have been achieved, and people have finished them. No, sorry. Okay, the stuff that's coming out between June 007 and the 14th of June is The Dark Eye, The Book of Heroes and Robin's Bottom, The Elder Scrolls Online, Grey Moor, Memories of Salkita? Okay. I don't care. Beyond Blue Balls on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Samurai Showdown and War Bum. It's coming out the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One Switch. You want to play War Bum because it's really, really good. It'll go very well with Beyond Blue Balls. So those are coming out. Anyway, you know, live by the sword, you die by the sword. We have this thing called Victory Achieved. Victory Achieved is pretty simple. It's been running for years now. Just we give you a chance to win money for completing the games that you have. Like, you know, if you buy a game, complete it to the end, and you're showing honor, to the people that spent all those hours away from their families developing that game just for you. So when you complete that game, you just take a photograph of yourself with the credits in the background, you tweet that off to @OC_podcast, and with a hashtag Victory Achieved, I will retweet it. You'll get entered into the draw. You might win 15 quid or $6 million. And the next draw will be at the... When? Wow! At the end of June.
Yeah,
and that's
not long, yeah.
My goodness, June.
Disclaimer, the $6 million is probably Canadian, because that's probably accurate. It's $20 in the US.
The last quarter, the Taff Man wanted for playing something called Zelda, A Link Between Worlds. You know, so there'd been lots of winners. And the people that finished games this week, Caliburn M finished Final Fantasy VII, the remake. It's a remastered week, this is. Scott Stubby finished three games. Well, there's only two here. He finished BioShock Remastered. He finished BioShock 2 Remastered. And just before the show started, he finished BioShock, the other one in the clouds.
Infinite.
Whatever it's called.
Infinite.
Yeah, so that was good.
Well done.
Filthy, Granda Filthy, he finished Ghost Recon Wildlands and had an absolute ball with it.
Yeah, he texted me yesterday saying, how long is that fucking game? I had the same problem, if you remember. I highlighted how long it was, yeah. It drags on a bit.
So now you hear from some fella that says that all game completions matter.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Excellent.
Yes, excellent indeed. All right. Look, if you made it to the show this far, we really do appreciate you. We thank you.
And well done, because most people won't make it this far.
No, most will not. But we want to shout out those that did attend. Commander Root, Hardly Man, Hot Local Mom is stuck it in, or stuck it out. Wait, anyway.
Just terrible.
Martin's still there.
Have you got a webcam somewhere, Craig?
Nerd Allegiance, whatever. Scott Stubby, Sirsby, and Universe, thank you all for joining us. We do appreciate you being part of the show. I also would like to just say a special appreciation for the way Pete Chin snuck off, came back with a small sandwich and looked like a field mouse.
And a kind of red stripe.
It's a tuna and cucumber sandwich that I brought from Tesco earlier today, and I just didn't eat it, so I just thought, I'll eat that. And yeah, I got a kind of red stripe as well.
Quietly, off mic, that was well done, Pete. Yep. Applaud you for that.
Yep, and then we spent 10 seconds talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I will stick to a topic till it's dead and needs to be buried. All right. We should play something, Mark. A little tune from Nicole.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
There's no cure for being a cunt.
It's true. It is true.
And there's plenty out there at the moment, isn't
there? There are indeed. Avoid those people. Let's start off the shout-outs with Mark.
Big shout-out to John Mouse. We've been sending a lot of WhatsApp messages backwards and forwards. What? I missed that. I'll have to rewind that. I missed that. It'll be something smarmy. He appreciates the joy and the involvement and the beauty of GTA RP. So, well done, John. Over to the wanker Robin.
Okay, I gotta say thanks to quite a few people that I've interacted with over the last week, and for good and for bad. The ones that I have now blocked from my Twitter feed will not get a shout out because they passed discussion and chat into insult. So please don't insult me. Don't. So Colonel Cars, thank you very much for your interactions. It's been lovely. Eric, thanks very much. Mark Webb from the 360 Gamercast. My goodness, our minds are melding. Chopper Kelly, I am very, very sorry. This morning, he asked me to find the fun me again because nothing in my Twitter feed seemed to be fun any longer. Sorry, Tim.
If you want fun, check his TikTok out.
Yeah, check my TikTok. That's where the fun is. Yeah. Yes, the TikTok is Bongo the Sane in my TikTok. Go and find that. That's fun. And, of course, AOC, thank you very much for the drinks. You're such a lovely, lovely lady and very, very clever. Thank you very much for being such a good-humoured politician in America and pretty good-looking, too. But that would be sexist, so I can't say that. Okay. Do you know what a waste disposal is? I know what it is. It's that thing. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, I've never seen one of those before. Fantastic. Anyway, it's been a fun week. Everybody, please stay safe from the virus because it hasn't gone away. Stay safe from idiots out there being silly. Use your own brains about what things are going on. And four, have a wonderful gaming week. Pete. You cunt.
Oh, Pete. I'm going to shout out you cunts because I love you. I've got no one to shout out. I've enjoyed tonight. It's been good. It's been good to get back on the podcast again, and I've really enjoyed my time the last couple of weeks. And yeah, shout out to you guys. Thank you, Greg.
Well, let's see. I suppose I should shout out the three of you because it has been a nice night. It's been fun. It's always fun. So thank you. Thank you for bringing some humor in a world that needs a whole lot more of it. And of course, you know, the listeners, we already rattled off a bunch of names. You guys really are, you know, the backbone of our community, of the gaming culture. Of cunts like Robin, you know. But let's not forget, we're all human. We're all in this world together. We only get one shot. I won't go that far. No, seriously. As Robin said, be safe.
Hello, my fellow podcast family.
Potato!
Like I'm podcasting with Duke. All right.
Oh, God, that's
I know. You don't need it.
I feel like
right
we're podcasting
here.
With Duke now.
You asked for that.
America, fuck yeah!
And on that note, Mark, please just play some music.
You're a line dog faced pony soldier.
Show it. Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.
Hey, Mark.
Hello. No one else is online.
Oh, well, okay.
I thought Greg could have been on by now. It's not like him, is it?
I don't know. He's getting old. What's that, a belly shot, Pete? Fucking horny. Whoa.
Come on, Pac-Man trousers as well.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. I like them.
God. Gobble, 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 wow. All the way down there. Fuck, not that I've seen much fucking peace the last 2 days. Self-inflicted. Anyway.
You're very quiet, Greg.
Yeah, I can't hear you.
Why?
Dickhead.
Yeah, you're pausing as well, Greg. You're dropping out and you're pausing in your video.
Right.
Let me do this. Fuck off.
You've completely paused now. Here he goes.
Oh, he's going to fuck all the cameras up now. What a twat. I've just spent 5 minutes sorting the cameras out and you switched positions now.
Fucking fuck.
Does adjusting Skype audio settings not make any fucking difference in the world? That could
That's
be true.
That's a little better for me.
Yeah, talk about it, Greg. Tell us about your day.
I'm just going to, you know, it's been a fucking long
That's
day.
Absolutely That's fine. I've heard enough of you. Okay.
You look tired.
I am tired. Tired. I'm cranky.
Oh, dear. What's the matter, Greg? What's happened?
The fucking world sucks. That's what's the matter.
Fucking no, the asshole syndrome has arrived over here.
Time
in the UK.
He needs his man pun.
I applaud you on that one.
Some of the stuff has came back to me. I didn't even say anything nasty. I just ordered a round of drinks. That's all it is. Can I have a gin and tonic, a vodka and orange, and 3 beers, please? And that's all I wrote. It just went bananas.
What are you eating?
Just some little
he's
nuts.
He's eating, Greg. He's eating. Tell him off.
The podcast is not happening.
It's live.
Yeah, we still got 2 minutes. You can chomp all he wants.
1 minute.
Chomp away until we hear that music.
Nom, 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 nom. So do you think this American person understood satire and sarcasm? At Bongo the Sane, you fuck your cousin. I replied, oh, what a joy you are. I'm so happy for you. It's fabulous to find someone who can communicate so clearly. Have a lovely day. His reply, thanks, big boy. I think you might have missed my sarcasm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, never mind. We're not going to talk about it. Speaking of Gandhi, fucking attack the statue of Gandhi. What the
what?
Fuck? Yes. Yeah.
What's that guy done wrong? Apart from having smelly flip-flops.
Okay, Warzone or golf?
I think golf. I think Pete wants to play golf with us.
I can't.
Fuck off.
You're a cunt. What do you mean you're a cunt?
You're drinking red
podcast. Keep
beer.
Your headphones on.
He's all just opened that can as well.
I know.
It's nearly gone. I'm gonna go and sit with my beautiful lady.
Oh my god, you sit with her every day.
God, fuck, it's 11 o'clock. She's in bed.
Yeah, shouldn't she be in bed?
She's got a curfew. Fuck. Jesus, I send my Judith to fucking bed early because she needs it.
Seriously, if Cindy ever heard half the stuff that goes in the podcast, one, she would think you guys are all a-holes, but two, I would get punched. I would get punched.
You should have said that. Robin's going to send her all the audio clips now.
No. What happens on tour stays on tour, lad.